Spring's here, but are you still feeling a chill? Warm up with Kama Sutra's Kissable Oil of Love. Not a massage oil or a lubricant, but a delicious and exciting way to savor your partner. Use its elegant dropper to anoint their erogenous zones and then lightly blow on the oil for a gentle warming sensation. Follow with kisses and now you're enjoying any of those six sweet flavors too. Is it getting hot in here? More on Kama Sutra and some big savings later on in the podcast.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and you're listening to episode 68 of the podcast. 68. Or as the t-shirt somebody gave me says, hey, you do me. I'll owe you one, okay? Y'all, I don't know what's going on. Maybe Mercury's finally out of Gatorade or something, but this was the most interactive week. You listened to last week's podcast, you sent me an email, and I got so much fan mail and new music suggestions and new Patreon supporters. And the amazing thing was, I know it was directly in response to last week's podcast because it said, hey, Dixie, you said this. And by the way, you can use my name and here it is. What? I said something and you guys responded? That was the best. I want to say thank you to Megan V, to Nicole H, to Tristan, to Zach. Zach asked about upcoming shows because Zach is going to make a cross-country trip to come see Body, and I got some info on a new show for y'all that I'll be sharing later on in the episode. Thank you to Andrew, to Lindsay, to Melissa P, to Cynthia, to Sam in Portland, and I got one email that sort of changed my life, and I waited for permission to make sure I could share it here on the podcast, and I got permission. And I'm about to share it with you. Get ready for this one, y'all. So last week's podcast episode went up on Wednesday afternoon. And I told y'all to let me know that you were listening. To make me feel like I was hearing from people. Like this was interactive. I don't love sitting alone in a room. I love live shows because I can see faces and have conversations. And I wanted to have a conversation with you. And I can't believe how much response I got this week. Thank you for that. But I'm going to read you an email that I woke up to on Thursday morning. And I've probably read it like 20 times now. So here we go. Hi, Dixie. My name is Chelsea, and I am a 36-year-old married mother of two living in Western New York. I will preface this email by letting you know that I am not a writer, not a storyteller or an open book, etc. So please bear with me. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, 2 or maybe 3 years. At least it feels like a long time. I wanted to let you know the profound impact your show has had on me, and perhaps not in the traditional ways expected. You see, I listen to your podcast to expose myself to adults saying words. I listen to their courage, their candor, their openness. I listen to normalize these words in my head. My story starts as a child. Long story short, I was born to teenage parents who lived with family to raise me as they did not have the means to support us on their own income. I lived in a home with aunts, uncles, grands, and great-grands, most of which have or have had alcoholism. This left me exposed and preyed upon by an uncle. I was sexually molested and raped from 3 years old to 9 years old. The shame and deep secrecy that instills in a child is almost insurmountable. Really, I'm looking for a word that describes whatever is just past shame. But again, I'm no writer. Fast forward to 16-year-old me. Pregnant. Shunned and iced out by my family. I lived in a home where no one would speak to me for 9 months. Shame. So much shame. Embarrassment. I remember going to family parties and just sitting in the other room alone because I was so ashamed of myself. Burning with embarrassment. I turned 17. Adoption. Isolation. Hiding. Rebuilding and constructing a life separate from my past. Here we are in current day. Adult me found a podcast with people not only saying what they want or like, etc., they are not ashamed. I drew so much courage from this. When I found myself singing along to your theme song and saying the word vagina for the first time, I felt so free and empowered. So much so that I started talking about the sexual abuse out loud. And you want to know what happened? I got louder and louder. And then my aunt called me and told me the same thing happened to her. She was also molested by the same uncle 12 years prior. Then my grandmother came forward and reported the same against the same man. And then my childhood neighbor came forward and reported the same thing as well. I ended up being the voice. I rallied the troops and we went to the police. I said the words. I told. We told. I was unashamed and unencumbered with that filthy embarrassment. Come to find out, the uncle is babysitting a 7-year-old girl these days, and the police and Child Protective Services are now doing a full investigation on him. I wish I had better words to tell you what and how your operation has done to help me, but this is the best I can do. Thank you, Chelsea. I'm going to take this letter and frame it. And any day that I'm like, I'm not sure I can do it, I'm going to look at this letter. I can't imagine anything better, Chelsea. I think about how your bravery changed every single one of these people's lives. If you have a letter that you'd like to send to Chelsea, send it to me. Dixie at Body Storytelling. I'll be happy to pass it along. I want to say thank you, Chelsea, for letting me know that the Body Storytelling Podcast helped make that happen. Thank you, Chelsea. Our storyteller for this episode is not only an infamous kink and sexuality teacher and writer, she's a neighbor of mine. And a good friend. On New Year's Day of this year, I went to dim sum with her, and we were talking about body and how long it had been since I'd had her on the stage, and we decided that she was going to tell a story at my 12 year. Not just that, she decided to tell a story she'd never told before. Let me tell you another quick little story about her. When I did my very first show in Seattle with Dan Savage, who helped me find my location in Seattle, and he agreed to tell a story at the first Seattle show, she flew up to be part of that show. She has always been a fan of my storytelling method, the method that I teach people, my cheat sheet. And backstage in the green room, Midori shows Dan Savage her cheat sheet for her story that she'll be telling that night. He takes one look at it. He looks at me and he goes, "Oh, I'm not ready." "You're ready. You're Dan Savage. You're ready." But it made me feel so good as I listened to her tell him what an amazing storytelling coach I was and how smart my system was. That's a moment I'm going to be turning over in my head for the rest of my life. We're coming up on 5 years in Seattle too, Dan Savage, so I'd love to have you on stage again, and I'm happy to coach you this time. But let's get back to talking about this week's storyteller, shall we? Midori is a renowned educator and writer on sexuality. Dubbed the supernova of kink by Dan Savage. She emerged from the sex-positive movement in San Francisco in the early 1990s, soon becoming a much-sought-after international presenter on sexuality, personal fulfillment, and kinky adventures. Her reputation as an authority and leading expert on alternative pleasures stemmed not only from her own unique and entertainment process of teaching concrete skills, but in her ability to deconstruct and distill complex matters of desire into surprisingly accessible lessons with eloquence and humanity. She's known for tackling challenging topics with fresh and relevant insights. She calls this her head, heart, hands method to create a space where people are allowed individual self-exploration. Fundamentally, she is motivated by helping people to create authentic and intimate relationships while emphasizing self-actualization, shame reduction, acceptance, and justice. Her writing is extensive, ranging from numerous articles, columns, works of fiction, to instructional books. She is the author of The Seductive Art of Japanese Bondage, Wildside Sex, and Master Han's Daughter. She leads transformative small group intensives, including Forte Femme, Women's Dominance Weekend Intensive. I recommend that one highly. Rope Dojo, she's famous for that one. And the Wanted Man Intensive with Marsha Bajinski. When she's not traveling and teaching, she's creating provocative and haunting art and performance. And you can find a way to support her art and follow her art on Patreon. She has her artwork there. This storyteller is Midori.
It looks like it's fucking your head. You can't unsee that now.
Okay. Where's my timekeeper? Oh, I heart you. Okay.
Whew. First time telling this story, please be gentle. Seriously, I'm a little nervous. Dark hair piled top the head, long pale neck. Blue silk bathrobe framing the pale neck with a shrug. A shoulder is exposed and another shrug. Another pale shoulder exposed and the silk falls down exposing a taut back, arched spine. And the silk falls and hugs the curve of the hips just for a moment and then falls soundlessly onto the tiled floor. And a well-manicured foot steps up, crosses the marble threshold and into the dark water. Another foot steps up across the marble threshold and into the warmth. And the naked body sinks into the warm bath and the hair undone floats to the surface of the warm bath as steam rises. I'm a senior in high school. I'm 18 years old in a rural village just outside of Spokane, Washington. I'm a couple of years from having moved from Tokyo, Japan to outside of Spokane, Washington. I'm trying to figure out this American thing on top of that, the American teenager thing. It's really complicated, so I'm mostly focusing on getting my straight A because I'm Asian. Right. And one night, phone rings at my foster mom's house where I'm living, and she picks up the phone, passes it to me. It's her best friend, Cheryl, and she owns the one cafe in town, the one cafe that also has espresso. And they throw cultural events. Great. Okay. And so Cheryl's on the phone going, hey, there's this guy that's trying to find you. And he'd like to talk to you, and I, do you want to talk to him? He's older. Okay, sure, I say. Could you have him reach me through my foster mom? Okay, click. I pretended like I knew nothing that was going on with this, but I totally knew, because I'd been hearing through at least half a dozen people of this older man looking for me. Older is like 24. When you're 18, that's a man. It's adult. All right. So a couple days later, he calls, and foster mom picks up the phone, makes a funny face, passes the phone to me, and I answer it. Hi. Hi. Beautiful, sweet, low voice, a little bit nervous. My name is Donald, and I heard your voice at the reception after the recital. The recital, Mozart? Yes, that's the one. The Requiem? Yes. At the cafe? Yes. You heard my voice? Yes. You said, I'll have the rum balls. Okay. Would you care to have tea with me? Yes. Yes, I would. How about at the cafe? Goodbye. The next morning, I am at the cafeteria table at high school, right? That cafeteria table, the one in the back, the weirdo table. How many of us? Weirdo table. Okay, so I was at that table. Hello, hello, yes, that table. And it was me and Carol and Naomi. Okay, me, the weirdo exchange student who happened to wear weird old clothing because I didn't know the teenage thing. And then there was Naomi, future librarian of America. She had the frizzy hair and big Coke bottle glasses and clutching her schoolwork and always had this like big smile on her face. And then there was Carol. Spiky blonde hair, shaved on the side, mohawk, had a tendency to wear red and black with lots of zippers. She had a truck and older permissive parents. She had sex. And every Monday morning, she would tell us tales of her sexual adventure. And I would listen. It was so interesting. It was like being a Martian on Earth, listening to her stories. And I learned so much about American from her. So anyhow, I told the girls about this man, Donald. They were all so excited for me. And all right, yeah, you know, go on a date. Okay. And see, Carol's stories were great. I learned so much. Because I hadn't had sex with other people yet. I had plenty of sex with Miss Left and Miss Right and the shower head. Love the shower head. Very nice. Yes. So I was perfectly fine. And I had gone on a few dates because my foster mom said I should go on dates. That is the American thing to do. Which mostly felt like being trapped in a car with an overeager golden retriever. Paws, tongues, funny smell. High school boys. Ugh. I'm a Jane Austen reading kind of girl. I watch 1940s movies like Breakfast and Tiffany's. Golden retrievers do not figure in to Jane Austen. So, anyhow, I show up at the cafe, okay? A little bit late, maybe I was a little bit nervous. Maybe. Maybe I wanted to build a little drama. Mr. Darcy. And I show up and there he is sitting upright, bright blue eyes and a tousled blonde hair just a little bit off to the side and a chiseled face, deep set eyes, looked a little like Newt in Fantastic Beasts. With a vintage shirt buttoned all the way up and a tweed vest, cuffed pants, looking all Fred Astaire. I sit down, we talk. Our courtship begins, and it is a courtship. Poetry, jazz, opera, talking about travel. And he knew my lack of experience. We talked about poetry, and we talked about sensual things. He would make himself available, but would never push. Night after night, I would make it home by curfew. Then, one morning, Carol, Remember Carol? Tells me of this American high school tradition called the school-sponsored all-nighter for graduating seniors. Well, her eyes twinkle, and she sets up the alibi in motion for me because here is an opportunity for drama. And my gals were gonna help me out. It's a month and a half. It's a month and a half. You know what that means? You know how long it takes for birth control to kick in? Right. So Carol educates me. She gets me in her truck. We get over to Planned Parenthood. I got things in motion. Then I go on a date with Donald, and I casually say, so this night, about a month from now, I could spend a night with you. He says, that sounds lovely. Okay, good. Let us speak of poetry. Inside. And my team goes into action. I got the birth control, I got education, I got second and tertiary method of birth control and safe sex set, because I'm a nerd. Yes. And then, as the body is getting set in motion, we also must have the wardrobe. Yes. I wanted stockings, for I had seen them in The Graduate. But I couldn't get stockings in a rural village outside Spokane, Washington. So I took fishnet tights, cut it at the thigh, and sewed the top to make stockings. And Naomi, the research that she is, found a place I could get lace teddy at the garter belt. Got that. And I also found in a fashion magazine a perfume ad with a series of images of a woman getting undressed, with her dark hair piled high on her head, a pale neck, a blue silk bathrobe slowly undressing. Frame by frame by frame. I cut those out, put a dab of my perfume on it, put it in an envelope, stamp on it. It's called US Mail. And every day I would mail one. The stage is set. And then I find out my mother's coming from Japan for graduation. Shit. It's okay, the girls got it, okay? The girls are like, we've got you, we're gonna set your alibi, we're gonna help you out in every way possible, as long as you tell us everything. Deal, deal, deal. Bam. Okay. So now then comes the night of the all-night graduation party at the local YMCA. And me and Naomi show up in baggy sweats and all of that, right? And we walk through, and I'm seen by the vice principal and the AP history teacher and the Shakespeare teacher. Love my Shakespeare. Right? And waving and play some foosball. I slip out the back. Carol's waiting there. We hop in the passenger seat and she spirits me away to his apartment. Lights are low, champagne chilled, strawberries, and his Murphy bed. Is decked out in a vintage reprint, dark green tiki print sheets. Snazzy shirt, vest open. I walk in and his face drops in disappointment. Because I'm wearing big heather gray sweatshirt that says Berkeley on it. And twill pants with pleated front, because it's the 80s, and Converse high top. I walk in the bathroom, start tossing out the clothes. I step out. He lights up, steps up, kisses me deeply, and then invites me to undress him, button by button, nervous young fingers slipping his shirt off. And he stands before me, naked, sits down on the bed, leans back, invites me. I crawl up his long leg, and I'm face to face with a hard penis. I've never seen one before. It looks weird. And I'm about to go into like a biology study with like, you know, and decide that's not a good idea. Look up at him. The condom goes on. He puts a condom on. And I climb aboard. And I remember his eyes opening wide and then squinting and his pale, paleness just suddenly flushing red against the green sheets. In the morning, he makes us breakfast and then takes me into the bath and pours bottles of champagne over me. Tingly skin. And then washes every inch of me. Feeds me strawberries. Dries me, dresses me in the baggy sweats. He takes one of my fishnet stockings and wraps it around his neck into a cravat, which he would wear all day at his job at the jewelry shop. And I slide out the back door, and there's vroom, 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 vroom. Carol. I hop in. I think she was there all night. Yeah. And she briefs me on all the things I need to know to tell Mom. We get to Denny's, and I go on and on and on about boring American teenage things that I was told to say. So we had this secret. Oh, yeah, and I also had the local florist deliver a single red rose to him at his work. We had a mission. Yeah. And there was my first time with a lover where I claimed my adult sexual right. There's no virginity to be lost. There is adulthood to be gained, and it takes a village of girlfriends.
I got five or six. was by some lube, and I just took a shit. Cause it's gonna take more than just spit. Cause tonight is the night. It's tighter than tight. It might take more than an hour, but tonight
song was Ass Flower by Shirley Gnome. We love Shirley Gnome. Check out her website, shirleygnome.com. That's Gnome with a G. Her Spotify, and expect to see her performing live at a Body Storytelling on the West Coast soon. Y'all, I got some news on the Patreon front. We had a bunch of new subscribers this week, and we had a lot of people who increased what they are pledging to Body Storytelling's podcast and live shows. The money that you're donating is helping us produce the podcast, and it's probably going to mean that we're going to have some new tour dates for you this year. So, right now we're a little over $1,100 a month. My podcast producer and I have been talking about this. There's a lot of extra work. There's some logistical stuff to deal with, but when we get to $2,000 a month, we are going to start producing bigger episodes of the Body Storytelling Podcast. So, if you've been on the fence, you're not sure, do it. You make this thing happen. You make the bigger episodes possible. Tell your friends, ask them to subscribe. Support us at whatever level you can on Patreon. Your support means you're going to get more body storytelling. Thanks for your support. So the stories heard on the Body Storytelling Podcast are performed live at our live shows. So I'm going to tell you about upcoming live shows. And guess what? I got some news. So pay attention. Here it comes. I'm going to start with Seattle. Seattle on April 13th. That's a Saturday night. We're doing a big special Saturday night event. It's called the Groupon Extravaganza. There's a dash in Groupon. Don't sue me, Groupon, because it's about group sex. It's about unicorns. It's about parties. That's going to be in Seattle on a Saturday night in April, April 13th. On May 9th, the theme is libertine. Maybe you're a libertine. Maybe you're sexually expressive. You're a free spirit. Maybe you want to get on stage and tell a story. I'm looking for pitches right now. So send me your story, dixie@bodystorytelling.com, and maybe we can have you on stage on May 9th in Seattle. Then on May 11th and 12th, I am doing a live weekend storytelling retreat in Seattle. It's in a really cool spot, and it's called Storytelling with Dixie. A whole weekend of me and you working on your stories. You've been dying to tell somebody. Wouldn't it be fun to spend a whole weekend working on them? You can find the link to buy tickets and to register on our website. Now, San Francisco, on April 18th, the theme is gateway drug. I'm still accepting pitches. Got one spot left, I think. So maybe there's a thing that led you to a thing. That's your gateway drug. Send me your pitch, and I would love to start working with you and coaching you to get you on stage in San Francisco. On May 17th, for my birthday, I'm doing Unicorn Fest. 10 years ago, I did the Unicorn Raffle, and I had so much fun. I've decided to celebrate my anniversary and my birthday by doing a special group sex unicorn-related show. You're going to be surrounded by unicorns. And unicorns are way more than you think. They're not just single women who hook up with men, women, and couples. We interpret it a little bit more broadly than that. Maybe you want to be a unicorn on that stage. Maybe you want to meet a unicorn. Maybe you want to listen to stories. Either way, join us on May 17th. That's a Friday night in San Francisco. Okay, here's some new information, y'all. I've been getting a lot of email from people who are planning to come into San Francisco for Folsom Street Fair. Folsom Street Fair, if you don't know it, is the world's largest kink street fair in the world. The largest kink event in the world. People show up, they spend a Sunday, they put on their best leathers, and they take over blocks and blocks of San Francisco. Wear your sunblock, because we get sun once a year in San Francisco, and we get it on Folsom Street Fair. So, September 29th, which is a Sunday, Folsom Street Fair. Hang out with puppies and ponies who are pulling carriages with dominatrixes inside. Watch flogging demonstrations. Watch hot leather men and women walk by. Watch every gender expression there is in the world travel to San Francisco to just be themselves. So you're going to come to Folsom Street Fair, and at 6 p.m. it's going to end. And you're going to go, well, now what? Now you go to a special kinktastic body storytelling. Sunday, September 29th, I'm doing a special Folsom Street Fair body storytelling, and I'd love to have you there. Tickets will be up soon, but start booking your travel Folsom Street Fair is not to be missed. And I'd love to see you that night at the Verdi Club in San Francisco. So I'm going to test drive some tour dates for later on this year. And I'm looking at New York. I'm looking at Chicago. Should I do New York and Chicago? I like to let you guys tell me what to do. I'm not as dommy as you think I am, huh? But maybe you're in another city and you want to see a live body. Tell me where you are, because I'm trying to figure out where to bring the show. And I can't bring it to you if you don't know where you live, because, you know, podcast stats don't tell me where you are. Send me an email, dixiebodystorytelling.com. Trying to figure out some dates. I need your help. Let me know you where you want it. And those are some of the upcoming shows for Body Storytelling. It's time to say thank you. Thank you one more time to Chelsea for that incredible email. And thank you to the team that makes Body possible. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, to project manager Dana Hanna, to video archivist Joe Moore, to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing this with at least one friend this week. We grow, that means we might get to come to your city. Till then, I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and you've been listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's Pika What's Next.
Can always tell a story that's worth seeing, with big beautiful white mounds that are not meant for skiing. You may get so excited that you squirt or end up peeing. Make way for the memorine. She'll use the force to fight off the darthest of Vaders. She'll crush all the shushers and silence all the haters when she rubs butter on them hot sweater taters. Make way the memorine. No cup nor strap Victoria's Secret could ever tame. You might look under her big blue eyes and never be the same. Once you see the knockers on this red-headed dame, make way for the memorine. She's famous far and wide in southern towns and giant cities. Never been a battle she couldn't win with them titties. Even when she's on her back and they roll into her armpitties. Armpitties is now a word. Make way, the mammarine. Oh wait, there's more. Evildoers, beware if near her waters you be testing. In a suicide mission you might be investing. Or the most blissful death from a drive-by breasting. Make way, the mammarine. She can put a stop to the shaming of a self-respecting slut and give the mic to the meek in hopes they too may bust a nut. With Quake by her side, who might try to sniff your butt? Good dog. Make way the memorine. Wait, there's more, cause many have glazed over gazing at those orbs of seduction. If bazongas were bazookas, then by way of deduction, her chest cannons could be weapons of mass destruction. Or a nice, safe, and soft place to lay your weary head. The memorine. Oh wait, there's more. When up against the stuffy, the prissy, and the smarmy, she's our fearless captain when the waves are dark and stormy. Together we will fight, we are her horny little army. So if your motorboat's adrift, you'll be wet and you'll be stiff. Beyond the boobs, I am quite sure she's the one we're all here for. The Mammarine. Or the Mammarian. Or the Mamma. She's got big boobs.